Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Hello and welcome. Well, despite the fact that we are on holiday, but not together. Well,
just clarifying
the
that.
The dry yes. time holiday, yeah.
I like the idea of it, though.
Where would we go?
South of France, I think.
Margate.
We'd, maybe Margate.
What about Canada?
Canada.
Or South Korea.
South Korea, right. This is all very random. We're just picking places on the globe, aren't we? I would say...
Well, we'll be off again in the summer, so we might as well all go to the same place.
Yes, why not? Yeah.
Japan. How about Japan?
Japan, I'd love to go.
Oh, I've not been to Japan.
Okay, we'll go to Japan together in the summer.
Okay, let's do that.
All right, anyway. So we're not here, but we can't let you go without. So here we are to gather once again for an extra special bonus bumper edition of the Confessions podcast from your friends at Greatest Hits Radio. Sister Susie, as you've already heard, is in the saloon bar.
I am.
Brother Matthew is still in the gutter.
Of course.
And therefore we are all gathered and ready to get on with this bonus episode. Coming up, we visit the parish notice board and catch up on the goings-on this week, as far as we're aware. We'll have a brief peek into the folder marked Not For Broadcast, and Sister Susie has been delving into the boxes from our move from the basement, and we've picked a selection of confessions from 2021... 2022 editions of the Drive Time Show on Greatest Hits Radio, including the rather excellent accents from my repertoire, including Spanish, Australian, and even Irish.
Wow.
Also Matt.
Very good. All the Spanish people loving that.
What is that?
That's her over there.
But drunk, presumably.
No, it's just my fabulous Spanish accent.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, it is.
Really?
Yeah. Spanish people loving it.
Okay. Anyway, two separate confessions from a husband and wife. An accidental underwear faux pas from Jaunty in You Better Run, You Better Take Cover. A rather dramatic visit to the hairdressers with Freddie's confession. Baby, what a big surprise. But first, we have maybe one of the most shocking confessions we've ever had. With Dell's little white lie, how could his parents have lied?
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from Dell. Dell, thank you very much indeed for getting in touch with us. Simon, Sister Susie, and the brother from another gutter.
Yep.
Does your wife call you that?
No, she doesn't.
Does she not? I think it could
that
catch
would
on.
Be certainly interesting.
My confession takes place quite a long time ago. It takes place in the winter of 1950.
Wow.
2 months after my darling new sister was born. You know the song Lonely Boy by Andrew Gold? It has the lyric, in the summer of 53, his mother brought him a sister, and she told him, we must attend to her needs. She's so much younger than you. It then continues, he ran down the hall and he cried. How could his parents have lied? When they said he was their only son, he thought he was their only one.
How true.
Well, Father Simon, that was me. I was a little 6.5-year-old boy who'd enjoyed the full attention of his mum and dad until this monster turned up.
Wow.
It's a little harsh, but you know, that's the way it is. One cold morning in January, as my mother was too busy breastfeeding the monster, she sent me off to school, which was just down the road and round the corner, on my own.
On your own?
Did I have my mother with me? No.
Different times.
I blamed this all on my sister. I cried and I screamed. I stamped my foot, but to no avail. I had to go, and I had to go on my own. So off I went down the road, tears streaming down my cheeks, only to see coming the other way, like a barge in full sail. Outdated reference, really.
Do barges have sails? No.
A barge in full sail was Mum's friend, Mrs. Philpott, a voluminous woman, Father Simon.
What's
the matter, Dell? Why are you crying? She asked, and without even waiting to hear my sad story about being pushed out of the house because of the monster that had been thrust upon me, she said, how is that lovely little sister of yours? Well, Father Simon, I looked at Mrs. P. I fixed her with my best,
6-year-old Syria stare and said, "She's dead." Anyway, I delivered the line and I walked off to school. As you can imagine, this hit Mrs. Philpott rather badly.
What?
Wow.
Evidently, I'm told she rushed off home in floods of tears to tell Mr. Philpott.
Oh, no.
And then could not pluck up the courage to visit my mother. Anyway, the next day it just happened that my mother had to take her library books back and asked the lady in the flat upstairs to look after the monster for half an hour, and so set off down the road minus the pram.
Oh, no.
So, yes, you guessed it. Mrs. Philpott was just coming out of her house and seeing my poor mother on her own with no pram, promptly turned around and headed straight back indoors. Well, that's funny, thought my mother. What's up with her? Anyway, she carried on. Some 4 days later, my mum went shopping with my sister in the pram, but as you did in those days, left the pram outside the shop with the monster securely strapped in and went inside to buy her groceries. Well, yes, you guessed it. Mrs. Philpott was inside already. And upon seeing my mother disappeared behind the sacks of sugar because there were no supermarkets in them days. I mean, we are going back super long
sacks
time.
Sacks of sugar, yeah.
"Well, that's it," said my mum. "I'm having this out with her right now." "What's the matter with you, Gladys?" I said. "Are you avoiding me or what?" Anyway, she said this to the now half-hidden, nearly hysterical Mrs. Philpott. I'm so sorry," says Mrs. Philpott, "about your daughter." "What about her?" "Well, she's died."
that would be why. Yeah. Yeah.
Whoever told you that, says my mother. "Well, your boy Dell told me." "Oh, that boy," said my mother. "His pork pies, Gladys, they're just getting bigger and bigger. He's just a little jealous. That's all. Come and see." And out they went outside the shop to ogle my delightful new but slightly ugly sister. My mum, fortunately, had a brilliant sense of humour and she saw the funny side, even if Mrs. Wow. P was slightly upset by the whole proceedings. Mm. Anyway, she then went around and told the story so many times, I can nearly remember it happening. I would like to know, though, what people are going to make of this, because it's quite shocking, but he was 6.5, and so therefore maybe his slightly jealous riposte was justified. Checking in with the voice of authority, Sister Susie,
well,
from the pub.
Del, do you know what? I think I don't think I can forgive you because I am a younger sister, I have an older brother, and he probably would have done and felt begrudged when I arrived and probably did something similar. So I just can't. You're an older brother, and I just got a side with a little sister, I'm afraid.
I think an awful lot will depend on where you are in the pecking order as to how you respond.
Believe me, it will.
Brother from another gutter.
So, yeah, I'm the eldest of mine, and oh my, younger siblings don't know they're born. Suddenly they're the ones getting all the attention. Everyone wants, oh, don't they look cute? Don't they look lovely? Yes, well, so am I. I was still cute before they arrived, and I'm still cute now. So I am going to say, what am I saying here? Forgiven. Forgiven, because,
you know, away there.
Had it coming. That's what I'm going to say about the monster in the pram.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Well, it was a very shocking confession, but he was only 6, and it was 1950.
So different times.
The very definition of different times.
Yes.
5 years after the war had finished, so everyone is still a little bit stressed. Isn't that
yes, they were a little stressed. That is true. Historian Mayo, yeah.
It also seems that Dell coined the phrase brother from another gutter, I think.
Yes. Good.
Did it start there?
Well, I don't know, but it sounds like it was a sort of fresh one, doesn't it?
Anyway, let's head over to the parish notice board.
And we will begin, as we always do, with reviews from iTunes. And I shall say, as I always do, if you want to get your review read out, don't leave 4 stars, don't leave 3 stars, only leave 5 stars. So Eagle Dave says, 5 stars, 5 stars. Still as good as when it was on the other radio station. And glad to see it is now a regular podcast. Simon and Matt, have a word with Holly and Susie and explain that a lot was acceptable in the past. We need to hear different times more.
Well, let's just do that. Susie and Holly's just sitting in the corner looking at holiday photographs.
Yes.
The different times, Holly, were very different times.
Yes.
Noted.
Okay. Yes, heartfelt. Arctic Lion 71 says, 5 stars, it's back. I used to listen to this podcast with my dad on the way to the clubs after school. So glad it's back. If you can dig out the confession about Knight Rider, the van and the little boy's ice cream, I'd love to hear it again. That is one that is called for quite a lot.
Is that the one with the speaking car?
Speaking car, exactly, yes.
Yeah, you had a megaphone.
Yes.
Yeah, very, very good.
It was wired to the front of the car. I think you'll find that there are various copyright reasons.
Yes, why we can't play that one again.
Why someone might object.
And remember, if you leave us a review or get a family member to leave a review, you could be featuring on this very podcast next week, but it must be 5 stars.
I've spotted a tweet from GrumpyOM64, who also says, yet another 5-star podcast this week. One thing to mention is we have done a toothbrush confession. I know we said a couple of weeks ago that we hadn't. And it was said, a lady and a boyfriend lived together and the boyfriend's sister stayed and borrowed the toothbrush. But the toothbrush they borrowed was actually the dog's toothbrush.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Yeah, I'd have done that one. Yeah, that's fine. We'll still do that one.
Yeah. Why are you keeping your dog's toothbrush? With all the other toothbrush. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, there's a pink toothbrush and a blue toothbrush.
Yes. But you'd keep your dog's toothbrush downstairs next to the...
dog food.
Exactly. Next to the chum, whatever.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't really want the dog in the bathroom.
Yeah. Why is the dog coming up the stairs?
Just well, dog stays down. Stairs.
Dogs don't go up the stairs.
Of course they do.
No.
They curl up on the bed.
The dog obviously stays downstairs.
In the kennel, in the backyard.
On the grounds. Yep.
Somewhere.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, I'm glad we sorted that out. Alison in Torquay. Simon and the team, could you please see if you can find a confession from some years ago and include it in your podcast? I can't remember when it was read out, I remember crying with laughter while driving home. It was about a couple who were on a boat on a river and they moored up and had to have the toilet emptied. There was also something about suction and the wife remaining on the boat. Thank you, Alison. I do remember that one. Mm. Was that here or there?
I don't know. Go on, because it slipped my mind. What happened?
That's it. Suction, toilet,
Wasn't the suction on the wrong way?
Oh, yeah, I think it blew rather than sucked.
Ugh.
Yeah.
You wouldn't. Why would you have that setting? You're never going to need that setting, are you?
I wouldn't have thought so.
Do I want it all pumped back into the canal boat? No, thanks. I just want it all sucked out. Anyway.
Well, maybe if you're flooded, then a sucking might help.
Okay. I mean, yes, that could definitely be the reason. Although I would then question why you're sucking it all out via the toilet and hoping that the flooded canal boat is so far underwater that the toilet is also underwater.
Do you think East German Hoovers had suck and blow options?
Oh, no. That could be.
By Horst and Greta.
No, it was Horst.
Ingrid.
Ingrid. Yes.
How dare you.
Stereotypical German
Alison Torquay. Oh, no, I've done that one. So yes, confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. If anything for our parish notice board, that's where you send it. Now we go to the gutter to join those in the parish that are sending in their confessions that are simply not okay for broadcast. Par exemple, Jay, who traumatised her children for not only reversing over one cat on the school run, but a few weeks later repeating the event with a second cat.
What?
It's not funny.
It's not funny.
In the rush for school, you scooped up the cat and quickly handed the leftovers to who you thought were the owners of the cat, your next-door neighbour, who didn't understand a lot of English. You didn't leave a lot of time to explain what actually happened, apart from saying sorry. A week later, you learnt it wasn't even their cat. It's just one that looked like it.
Okay, right.
I mean,
that's not good.
So many reasons for not doing that.
No.
Reversing over cat one, instantly wouldn't have read that one out.
No,
Reversing over a second cat.
No.
Yeah. Nope.
Definitely not. And then being so curt and unfeeling that you would, when I say curt and unfeeling, sound like they live next door to England, of course. But to just say, there you go, there's your cat, and it's not the cat. And anyway, it's presumably got innards and blood and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not nice.
No
one
needs nice to think
that.
About that.
So that's not going on.
Yeah.
Nope.
Anyway, also Stewie, I know that being the last to use the word canteen must have been annoying, especially when the construction workers and the electricians had started to eat your lunch out of your lunch boxes. But how many times do we need to say it is never okay to put a laxative chocolate for them to steal? And you made it even worse by removing all the toilet paper and marking the toilets out of order.
Okay.
So, again,
I am amazed people are still sending in the laxative confessions because they're never, ever getting on.
Never.
No. But they do squeeze their way into the podcast.
Yeah, nice use of the word squeeze.
Thank you. Well done. Thank you very much. Yeah. So, yes, Chewy, so basically, I just think they're all not.
No, they don't get on. They'll be flooded.
Back to the confessions from the crypt. So, the first of our husband and wife's confessions from July 2022. With a bonus rarely heard Irish accent from me. This feels very, very unsettling.
Good.
And very unwise.
Yeah.
Here's the one we called Scream and Shout.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Confess all. We won't tell anyone.
Father Simon and the Collective, after listening to your confession segment on the show, my husband thinks it's about time that he looked for forgiveness. So I think this is Mags writing on behalf of husband.
Mm-hmm.
His confession goes back a few years whilst holidaying in the Canary Islands. Firstly, I need to explain before I go any further that some years ago, my husband had his big toe and the one next to it amputated on both feet due to arthritic problems. As you can imagine, his feet are rather odd looking. Having only three toes to each foot, he is unable to wear flip-flops, for example.
Okay.
So that's the background information. A few days into our holiday, we decided to have a lazy day on the beach. We're both too tight to rent a sunbed, so we plonked ourselves on our towels next to an Irish family. Oh, no, really. That's an accent thing rather than, obviously. The children happily building sandcastles and frolicking in the sea. A proper, happy family day by the seaside.
Yeah.
We chatted. We talked about the books both families were reading and what our children were up to. These two families were getting on famously. Maybe we would hang out with them again. Maybe we'd exchange addresses and phone numbers at the end of the holiday. Maybe we'd be friends for life. Maybe our kids would end up going out with each other and marry each other. But maybe we were getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, maybe you were.
And it turned out that's exactly what we were doing. I noticed the little girl, who looked maybe 4 to 5 years old, staring horrifyingly at my husband's feet. After some time, she wandered over.
Oh, no.
And said in her little Irish accent.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Where have all your toes gone?
Whoa.
Come on. No, it was not horrendous.
So,
wait.
Public of
what
Ireland?
What did she say?
Before I could answer, she said, where have your toes gone? Before I could answer her, my husband said, I've just been for a paddle, and when I went in the sea, I had all my toes. However, I think the fish must have eaten them.
Oh, right.
They have got very hungry fish out there. It's the season, you know.
It is the season.
The look on the little girl's face was one of pure horror.
Surprise.
She then bolted to the sea edge and in pure hysteria and therefore resorting to a London accent, said, Daddy, get out of the water quickly. It's dangerous. It's not safe. A man's been attacked, eaten half his feet. Well, it was like a scene from Jaws. Bedlam. Mr. Irish Daddy and others came running out of the sea in a blind panic, scooped up his sobbing daughter and asked her what was wrong. Well, you can now imagine the scene. Irish Daddy came striding over, holding his daughter, who was now crying so much she couldn't even talk, never mind look at my husband. To say Irish Daddy wasn't pleased is an understatement. I tried to explain that my husband has a sick sense of humour and I apologise profusely for his behaviour, something I've done many times over the years. Mr. Irish Daddy muttered something which probably cannot be repeated on the radio and marched off, picked up his belongings and the rest of his family, probably left the beach. We didn't venture on the beach again for the rest of the holiday in case we bumped into Mr. Angrish Daddy and the rest of his family. So, Father Simon, I'd like to seek forgiveness for my husband's behaviour, for not only ruining a happy family day out on the beach and maybe decades of
future get-togethers, but I'm certain that this little girl would have been scarred for life and wouldn't have been surprised if she never ventured in the water again. To be honest, that's actually probably not far off the truth, because you would think that if you think going in the sea you can lose your toes, then you're going to think twice about it. Anyway, Sister Susie, what are you saying?
Oh, well, Mags, you know, it was very funny. However, what I want to know really is why you're apologising for your husband. He should have been doing that for himself. And I definitely forgive you, Mags. However, I don't forgive your husband, because that poor little girl would have been scared to death.
It's a good line, though, isn't it?
It's a great line.
If you can't scare the kids, what can you do, Brother Matthew?
I mean, well, yeah, A, it's a great line, and B, who's listening to a two-year-old? Who's in the sea and listening to a two-year-old and telling themselves, four to five-year-old. What? I mean, where's David Hasselhoff and the rest of the lifeguards? They're the ones who'll tell you whether to come in or not. Not some toddler. Everyone's being attacked. Oh, why? Oh, the toddler's telling me. Oh, I'll definitely come out then. Definitely forgiven.
Well, how did you get from 2 years to...
I mean, it's pretty much the same, isn't it? I'm personally never taking advice from 4 to 5 year olds or 2 year olds.
Anyway, the line, I had all my toes before I went in for a swim. It's pretty good, I have to say.
Yes, yes.
Anyway, still to come on the Confessions podcast, we have one of the worst puns ever in a verdict from Matt.
Come.
They're all terrible, but this one is spectacularly terrible. And we have the wife of Mr. Fish Ate My Toes, who you've just heard from, with her very own confession. But not before we head back to December 2021, when we heard Jonty's confession. You better run, you better take cover. We heard it for the very first time.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Jonty, thank you very much for sending in this tale. Dear Father Mayo and his divine duo. So that'll be you, brother, and also Susie, considered divine. England's abysmal start to the Ashes series in Australia brought back to me very vividly and painfully memories of two other English sporting humiliations in the Antipodes. The year is 1991, the first week of February, and England's dismal Ashes series was already lost by the time the Aussies handed us a 9-wicket whopping at the Wacker in Perth. As I recall, the always humorous Phil Tufnell gave the locals much to laugh about in that match. It was, coincidentally, the week my girlfriend and I landed in the city at the start of a 12-month round-the-world backpacking trip. How about that?
Nice.
Being a seasoned journalist, I quickly acquired a position as a sub-editor in the city's daily newspaper. And having previously played rugby to a reasonable level, I inquired of the sports editor where I might get a game. The season was about to start shortly. Get yourself down to the Shirley Strickland Oval, mate.
Oh, yeah.
He drawled. You might get a run out with those blokes. He was from Australia, this guy.
Yes, he was, wasn't he? Okay. He was.
Down at the said Shirley Strickland Oval, I was quickly bestowed the nickname Tuffers and found myself the only pom across the club's four teams. The reason for the sports editor's recommendation was also quickly apparent. The team had finished plumb bottom of the league, or ladder, as they colloquially referred to it, the previous season. It was about all a mere pom was deemed worthy of, clearly. The Tuffers moniker was replaced by a grudging pom as I established myself in the first team, though sneering asides were never far away. Most of my teammates were manual workers. Indeed, a good few were garbos, as they were referred to. That's bin men, obviously. The pom, meanwhile... I didn't know that. Did you know that?
Garbos.
Garbos?
Garbos.
Are you a garbo, mate? The pom, meanwhile, that's me, wore a shirt, tie and jacket to work. He was, again, in the local colloquial, a bit sus, mate.
I'll give it up on
suspect.
This.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah.
Winning, however, was an effective tonic, at least until a big match loomed. It would be at the fabulous Wacker Ground under lights. Extra training sessions were demanded by our coach. The night before the big game and finishing late at work after getting the first edition away, I hurried into the sheds at the Oval. I guarantee no one knows where this confession is going.
Okay.
To find all of my teammates already changed and nearing the end of the coach's briefing. Despite my hurried apologies at my tardiness, some of the looks I received were less than understanding.
Quickly, I took off my jacket and tie, pulled my nice Oxford shirt over my head, and kicked off my shoes, before unbuckling my belt and unfastening my smart chinos. At this point, Father Simon, I should remind listeners that my girlfriend and I were backpacking around the world and thus, understandably, travelling light. Only a perfunctory wardrobe had been packed. And that morning, running late for work and finding that my scant supply of underwear was in the laundry basket, I had hastily pulled on a pair of my travelling companion's briefs.
What?
I only realised this as I lowered my trousers to my knees. A sudden silence descended on the usual boisterous sheds at the Shirley Strickland Oval. I froze in stupefied alarm after several seconds. The silence was broken by our flat-nosed hooker, Derek.
Go on.
Jeez, boys, he said. The expletive-deleted pom. Where's women's gear? He was also from Australia.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. Though slightly less so than the last one. All eyes were fixed upon a very fetching red lacy number, which admittedly was very snug. After... you have to say, that's some mistake. After another few seconds, the team got one up... after another few seconds, the team got up one by one and walked quietly out, the coach shaking his head, what only I can consider was disbelief. I can explain, lads, I cried in desperation. I can explain. Now, Pom, replied Derek, the flat-nosed hooker, I don't think you can, mate. I really don't think you can. Such as there is a happy ending, our team won the big game and indeed went all the way to the grand final that season, rather taking the wind out of the sails of my newspaper's sports editor. And so my plea to the Holy Trinity for forgiveness. I beg forgiveness from my gallant former teammates, but not for opening their eyes to the, you know, alternative choices for underwear. Because our visas were about to expire, my girlfriend and I had to leave West Australia, and I missed the grand final, which my pals narrowly lost, having to rely on the backup goal kicker. Mm-hmm. Who'd have thought Oz is missing a pom? Sorry, chaps, but tally-ho and all that, says John T. I mean, it's you have to say it's an unusual cricketing tale which we bring you today. So let's check in with Sister Susie from the pub. What do you think there for Jonty?
I think Jonty is a bit sus, mate, as they say.
You're a bit sus of you.
No accent there. Sus, I was mate. Just bit saying sus, the same thing. Yeah. Bit sus, mate. Because surely he'd gone through like the whole days of work beforehand and not realised or forgotten or realised but didn't care. You had time to go and get new pants before your cricket match, so John T, I don't forgive you because I think you were just a bit of a show off.
Brother from another gutter.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Suze. I think nobody's buying this one, John T. No one's buying. If you were, just own it. Just say, I decided that I would prefer to wear my partner's red lacy things, and I prefer to wear them. So deal with it, everyone. I have to deal with it. I'm getting undressed now, and yes, that's what I'm wearing. So just deal with that, rather than the oh no, where did these come from? Who'd have thought? I'm going to forgive because I always
what?
Do.
No, you were going to agree with
Susie. I'm agreeing with Susie.
Susie has not forgiven,
and for that reason, I choose just this time to forgive. Even though... But anyway, consistency, that's what counts.
Okay.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Takes an unusual turn, this one. Freddie says, Hi, Simon. I need to beg forgiveness from you and the amazing collective.
Yep.
Ooh.
When I was younger, about 14 or 15, I used to go to the hairdressers to get my hair cut. As opposed to the newsagent,
yes. You
know, so it seemed a sensible thing to do. I went with my parents. Over a period of time, me and my parents had built up a rapport with the owner of said hairdressers and considered him a family friend. Sergio was a kind soul and a talented hairdresser. He was also good value and used a variety of the finest shampoos and conditioners. Italian popular songs filled the shop and we all learned the words to O Sole Mio, Volare, Nessun Dorma, and a generous selection of hits by Zucchero.
Oh, all of them.
My goodness me.
A good haircut combined with a musical education, what more could you ask for? However, sometimes you didn't get Sergio. On one occasion, they had a new person working there who had never seen me before. She was called Gina, and she was fabulously glamorous, with a terrific, heart-stopping smile. So here I am, as usual, waiting to be called up for my haircut. Will it be Sergio or Gina? Who would it be? Traditional glamour. Well, when it was my turn, Sergio informed me and my parents that I would have to wait for the newbie Gina to become available. This was fine with me. Now, before we go any further,
okay,
I need to tell you an important fact which sets the scene for this sorry tale. I have a prosthetic right ear. Sergio knew about this, but Gina didn't. My parents said not to say anything, so I didn't say. We assumed, I think, that Sergio would tell her what she needed to know. So when she became free, I went up and kept quiet. She smiled at me. I smiled back. Hello, she said, I'm Gina. Hello, I said, I'm Freddie. Shall I wash your hair? Yes, please.
Oh, no.
Conditioner, she said. Yes, please.
Oh, no.
So she washed and then dried. And everything was fine.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
I smiled and she smiled back. As I recall, Dean Martin's That's Amore was now playing on the stage.
Of course.
All was going well until she went to bend my ear to trim behind it. Oh. The thing is, my ear doesn't bend. No. So instead, it just popped off.
Wow.
Well, you can imagine the scenes.
Oh, no.
Poor Gina shrieked as my ear fell into my lap. A sentence I've never said before.
No.
I quickly popped it back on, but she was trembling like a jelly. She had to sit down for 15 minutes to regain some sort of composure. I can see it from her point of view, but I told her it was fine quite a few times before she was ready to stand up again. She did finish the cut, but I never saw her in there again after that. So no idea if she quit or retired from hairdressing entirely. So I need to beg forgiveness from Gina, the beautiful hairdresser, and hope she continued in the profession somewhere. Every time I hear an Italian song, I am transported back to that hairdressing salon and the day Gina got a little bit of a shock. She probably remembers it to this day. Now, you know what I think, Freddie? I think she probably does. She remembers that moment of shock. Extreme shock. Sister Susie, where do you go with this one from Freddie?
Freddie. For me, this one goes down to you should never trust someone else to tell someone something you need them to know. So maybe Sergio should have told him, but it wasn't his responsibility to tell Gina. It was yours and your parents. So, and poor Gina, I can imagine that must have been awful for her. And for that reason, Freddie, I can't forgive you.
Also, if you're going to go and have your hair cut with your parents, you would think somewhere between parents and Sergio and Freddie, they might say, oh, look, by the way, you just need to
just
know.
Just a heads up.
Just before,
I mean, it's perfectly fine and everything, but you just should know. Anyway, a brother from another guy.
I have to agree with Susie on that. I mean, that's quite an assumption to think that Sergio would have given her the nod about the false ear. My ear popped off. We haven't had that in a confession for a while.
No.
But, you know.
Or ever before, actually.
Or indeed ever. At all. But when all of these happen, when they all come together, surely that's Amiri. Amiri?
No.
That's Amiri.
No.
A bit like Amore.
No.
Almost
no.
there. I think definitely no. forgiven.
Could do with more
well
work,
done.
That one.
I know, that definitely works. I'm very it's happy
terrible.
With that
okay.
one. Underlining it twice.
So Freddie seems
that's
to be forgiven
Amiri.
In the studio. Okay, that's fine. What have you taken?
That's, I mean,
wow.
Come on.
Amiri.
That's Amiri.
So far away from Amore.
Yes. Sun hits the sky like a big pizza pie.
No, I think
that's Amiri.
That's just cataclysmically terrible. Anyway, we're going to carry on with this bumper edition of Confessions from the Crypt because we're actually on holiday, so that's why there haven't been any confessions.
Mm.
Unless Andy Crane has decided to muscle his way in and just do some anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to carry on with a confession from Mavis, who was called Mags earlier in the Fishers Eat and Toes confession book. You know, we changed these names just to protect the guilty.
For the lawyers.
Anyway, and Mavis and Mag's confession is called Five Coins in the Fountain.
Something to confess. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Now, I should say, not really quite sure what to say about today's, except that it might upset you.
Oh, really?
Well,
okay.
We'll see as we get He does feature something that doesn't, which is not normally allowed to happen.
Okay, it's not food.
In a confession, it's not food. No.
Okay,
but you'll see what I mean.
Right.
As I feel
intriguing.
A little bit nervous about this one.
Mm.
Simon and the Collective, says Mavis. You may recognise this email, as I have sent in a confession for my husband before.
Oh.
You may recall the incident with the missing toes and the distraught Irish girl read out about a month ago.
Yes, yes, the one in the sea.
Yes, exactly. And he made her think that he'd lost a toe
in the sea.
In the sea. Because of the crabs or something like that.
It was the fishes.
The fishes, that's right. Yeah. The fishes had eaten his toe. Anyway, after reading this out on air, my husband has finally talked me into writing to you with my confession. Or rather, the most embarrassing moment of my entire life. It will become apparent why I am reluctant to share this, but my husband can be very persuasive. So here goes. My sorry tale goes back 10 years whilst holidaying in Tenerife. Firstly, I would like to point out that I've always classed myself as an intelligent lady. However, I sometimes lack his common sense. Right. Anyway, halfway through our holiday, we decided to partake in a trip to the local zoo. We don't usually bother with trips, but this one sounded great. So,
okay.
Be a nice day out.
Yeah, trips.
I don't want to go on a trip. When we arrived at the zoo, we paid our admission fee and we wandered into the park. We then came upon a large pond of fish. Yes, my confession involves fish as well, as did my husband's. Anyway, to the left of the pond, there stood a sign which read, and I quote, "Throw a euro in the fish's mouth and make a wish." Oh, I thought, all right. I'll have a go at this. How hard can it be? My purse came out and I managed to rustle up 5 euro coins. This is where my story takes an embarrassing turn. I stood at the edge of the water, euros in hand. When the live fish came up for air, I positioned myself and I took aim. I was trying to throw the euro in the fish's mouth, as it said in the sign. Somewhat subdued, the fish made a hasty retreat. What with it having coins being thrown at it. Undeterred and determined, I then waited for the next one to come up for air. Again, I took aim, but again missed. When my euros had run out, remember, I had 5 of them, I turned to my partner to ask for some more euros, but it appeared as though he had disappeared. Instead, I was surrounded by holidaymakers looking at me in astonishment.
Uh-huh.
And it was at this point that a gentleman tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Well, señorita."
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
I'm going to drop that now.
No.
Go on.
Señorita.
He said, "You see the big pink plastic fish, the one with the huge open mouth, right there in the middle of the pond? I think that's the one that you should be throwing the coins at, not the live fish."
No.
By this point, I believe I had traumatised the helpless fish. And I am ashamed to say, I'm afraid one of them might have gone to fishy heaven.
Oh, right.
As it floated on the top of the pond, lifeless. Fish plus coins. No,
they don't go.
I have never felt so embarrassed in my life, and I could not believe that I actually missed the enormous pink fish with the open mouth in the middle of the pond. When I finally found my husband, who was by now propping up the bar, I see. I asked him why he walked away and left me, and his response was, "Are you joking? I wasn't standing around watching you make a complete fool of yourself." My reply to him will not be repeated on live radio. I mean, he could have just pointed out your mistake, Mavis, I'd have thought. Throughout the day as we walked through the zoo, people were pointing at me and muttering under their breath, "That's her." How do you say that in Spanish?
S-O-S-A, yeah. S-O-S-A,
yeah. S-O-S-A. They were pointing at me and they were saying, S-O-S-A. What did they say?
S-O-S-A, yeah.
That's what I said.
Exactly the same.
Obviously, we didn't see the whole day out at the zoo. Instead of waiting for the coach that brought us, we took a taxi back to our apartment. So a hasty retreat was the only thing to do. When I have told the select few this story, they cannot quite believe it, but rest assured it is true and something I will never speak of again now that I've told you. So I'm seeking forgiveness for not only the holidaymakers who had to witness this, but also the poor fish. who were unfortunate to be at the end of my Euro-throwing antics. I mean, what an astonishing tale that is. Mavis, how could you miss the big pink fish with the gaping gob that, where it says, throw the Euros in here? P.S. As you read my husband's confession out, we're already in receipt of a smart speaker. Could I have a drive time mug instead?
Oh.
I suppose there's
bending
no...
Bending the rules?
I suppose there's no reason why not.
Oh, right.
Ooh. Okay, so a mug can be yours, I think. Sister Susie, anyway.
Well, Mavis, I was kind of with you for a little while because, you know, maybe they didn't make it obvious. You know, if you couldn't see the big, giant pink fish, maybe there was a reason for that. But one of the fishies might have died, and for that reason I can't forgive you, because that's just mean.
I mean, the fish could have gone better. It could have been asleep or something.
Could have been asleep.
Okay,
that's
maybe
true.
It was asleep.
Brother, yes. From another gutter.
I mean, you know, the fish, at some point, you know, fish shuffle off, don't they? So I don't think really we can blame Mavis for that.
I think we can, actually.
I don't think we can, because, you know, fish, they tend to die. But I was going to come out against Mavis on this, because it's quite obvious. You're not meant to be throwing it at the fish, the live fish. There was obviously going to be a big plastic one that you're supposed to toss your coin into the mouth of. But I'm going to forgive just for the Spanish accent. That alone, I think, merits forgiveness.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Well, I thought that was a good one, actually. Five coins in the fountain.
Definitely.
Also reference to another old song. I'm surprised you didn't come out with something equally terrible like Camore.
Oh, yes, with the five coins. What is it? Coins in the fountain?
Five coins in the fountain.
Is that actually the name of the song?
And that's how it goes.
All right. Yeah.
Five coins in the fountain.
I don't know the rest of it.
Is that Sinatra?
Sounded like it. Yeah.
Well, just like that.
Yes.
You sing it.
Pub Sinatra. Anyway, we better stop very soon. Anyway, these have all been like confessions from the crypt as a special bumper holiday service. If you'd like to request a classic confession that you'd like to hear again, or you'd just like to send us a confession of your own, or you have something for the parish notice board, send it to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Now it's over to Brother Matthew for this week's not very good secret code phrase.
Yeah, the not very good code phrase this week is curt and unfeeling. And you get bonus points if you spell curt like a German name, which is how we did it on the podcast.
With an umlaut.
And an umlaut and a K. Yeah.
If you've listened this far, you can tweet me at Simon Mayo. You can go on Threads. I'm Mr. Simon Mayo. And also, yes, I'm Simon Mayo on Blue Sky.
On all of the social medias.
Don't forget to follow and review for extra points. Keep telling everyone that the Simon Mayo Confessions podcast is back. Tell all your friends and family and knock on your neighbour's door. Mm-hmm. Until next time, from the pub, Sister Susie.
Ta-ra.
From the gutter round the corner, Brother Matthew.
Goodbye.
I'm Simon. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next Friday.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
This is a special bonus for people who haven't taken their headphones off. They thought the whole thing had finished, and it hasn't. Holly's in the corner as well. Say goodbye, Holly.
Bye, goodbye.
Okay, that wasn't really worth
it. No.
Anyway, slightly disappointing. Slightly disappointing, Holly.
Ta-ta for now.
Ta-ta for
Even
now.
Even better.
That's much, much better.
I like that one.
Thank you.